It feels so natural to say that. I actually have to catch myself when I'm at Faith Alliance Church in New Bremen. When I do announcements, I have to catch myself more than a few times. Good morning, Faith Alliance Church. Because it's more natural actually to say CMA. But thank you for having me here this morning, me and my family, as we get to worship together our King. And serve you all with God's word. Thank you, Pastor Fish, for welcoming in as well to preach on God's word. We will be in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. I hope everyone had a great Christmas. My family sure did. Obviously, with kids, there's a lot of excitement in the household. But after 2 days of Christmas, it was Friday morning, our little son Isaiah walked down the stairwell, and he said, "Is it Christmas?" And Meredith had to say, "Sorry, buddy, it's not Christmas anymore." And he just had a downcast look on his face. A bum look, right, Isaiah? Yeah. And even Raylin, our daughter, was like, "Oh, man," like on Christmas Day, she's like, "I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end." But we still have one more left with Grandma and Grandpa, right? We do. But that's the reality, right? Like, our Christmas, like, we get very excited about the Christmas time with holidays and Hallmark movies and Christmas lights and gifts under the Christmas tree, you know, being around family and friends and all that. And even Jesus, right? Like, the birthday celebration of Jesus, and we get all excited about that. Here comes this King, born in a manger. And then after the day's over, I don't know about you, but you have like this lull, this, you feel like you're just sleepy and tired, and this whole Jesus thing kind of doesn't excite you as much. Like, oh, it's over. Do you feel that way at all? Like, oh, like we celebrate the King on December 25th, but yeah, the rest of the year, we'll give him his dues, but are we really excited still about the King being born for us? You know, and so that's where we're kind of going to head today. Is, you know, the wise men, they travel and they ask this question: where is he who has been born King of the Jews? You know, after Christmas, maybe we ask that question to ourselves: where is he in my own life? Maybe as a church, CMA, Faith Alliance Church in New Bremen, we ask that same question: where is he in our church? Where is he? Where is the King? Is he moving? Is he working in our church? I want to encourage you and I this morning. Acts 17 says this, verse 27 and 28, if you want to go there, says this, that they should seek God, perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live, move, and have our being. He's actually not far from each one of us. Talking about Jesus, talking about the living God. Like, the King is still here. He is moving in our midst through the work of the Holy Spirit. And what does this look like to find our King in 2025? Now and into 2025. That's why I want you to really think through as we go into God's word. The King is here. The King is here, amen? But we sometimes need to find him in our life. We need to be aware of his reality for us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that you, Jesus, are King, whether we feel like it or not this morning. The reality, the truth is that you are King, Jesus. And you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you love us with an everlasting love. And you are here, present with us through your Spirit. And so we just ask that you would speak to us through your word, that we may be more aware and fall more in love with who you are, Jesus, in our life, and walk in obedience to your ways and not our ways. We need your help, Lord. All of us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'll read it, and then we'll dive in. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He said to them, he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for this child, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came over to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary's mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." The reading of God's word. So we look at chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Jesus was born around 6 BC. In the days of Herod the Great, King Herod he took the throne around 37 BC to 4 BC. And there's more that we'll talk about with King Herod, but he was a ruthless, cruel king. He was actually a puppet king that he wasn't even a full-blooded Jew, an Israelite. He was actually from the descendants of Esau. And it was the Romans that put him in leadership. And so he was actually a little bit of a puppet type of king. Didn't have the lineage to truly be an Israelite Jewish king, but nonetheless, he was put in place and in power. And it says that there was wise men from the east that came to Jerusalem. Obviously, many of you know this story, but these wise men, where did they come from? All right? So most likely, we can confer that these wise men came from Babylon. Came from Babylon, this country in the east. When the Jewish people were in exile and departed around 586 BC, that was with King Nebuchadnezzar as the Babylonian king, and he took most of Israel to his own country and controlled them for 70 years. All right?
That's the exile in 586 BC. And this is where we have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They were there in the time of Babylon, around that time. Okay? And I'll read you a passage from Daniel, but King Nebuchadnezzar, he started having these dreams, if you remember. And he asked some of the magicians and people who could interpret dreams, hey, can you help me understand these dreams? I want you to tell me the dream and its interpretation. None of his people could do it. Daniel was asked to interpret the dream, right? And Daniel, because of God, was able to not only tell the dream, but interpret the dream. And it says in Daniel 2:46 that Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel a prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Do you see that? So the book of Daniel gives us clue that these wise men were probably Babylonians. Okay? They were wise men. These were astrologists who would study the stars, and they were experts in ancient literature. Okay, so these were the wise men. They were not from Jerusalem, Judea. They were from another country, Babylon. That's who these men were. Okay, and they asked this interesting question: where is he who is born King of the Jews? Why do these men, I have a question for you, why do these men who are about 800 to 1,000 miles away, think about that. Why are they traveling that far to Jerusalem to see this king? Why? Like, what compels them? Throw it out there. Long distance. Right? Obviously it has something to do with King Jesus. But I want to give you a little bit of some history of the Babylonians. It's because this is wise men from the, what does it say, east. My friends, the east for them failed. Their gods that they held to failed them. Follow me here. In Babylonian, the longest standing god was the god of Marduk, okay? He was the god of creation, the god of justice, the god of compassion. He was this large, bearded, powerful appearance. He held like a thunderbolt in his hand, a scepter, and he even had this snake-looking dragon that was by his side. Okay, that was the pictures that you would, if you go on Google, you'd be able to, you can see those things. And so he was this long-standing god of the Babylonians that would give the Babylonians comfort and security and a sense of identity, right, of who they were, because they had this long-standing god. And the Babylonians were strong, mighty empire. I mean, they took down Israel like it's no problem. But in 539 BC, the Persians conquered the Babylonians. And most likely what research suggests is that this god, Marduk, also was conquered. This god that was connected to their strong empire, because the empire fell, so did the god fell. Does that make sense? All right? And so that was in 539 BC, long time ago. And so these wise men were probably like a sense of like, okay, God of Marduk failed us. What God can we really trust and rely on and serve? Because this God of Marduk is really empty. It fell because our empire fell. That dynasty did not last, right? So that's one reason that this east, this God of the east failed them. Let me ask you guys a question. We're not people of the east, we're people of the west. Amen? don't know if you want to say amen after that, right? But has the West failed you and I in some ways?
Absolutely.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We have many good things and blessings that God can use for the worship of His glory. But if we rely too much on them, my friends, if we depend too much on fill in the blank of our life, that becomes a God of Marduk, a God that we worship, a God that we serve. In our area of New Bremen, there is a God called Football.
And that's just the reality. It is a gift from God, and it can be used for God's glory, and there's many good things happening there. But if not careful, people can worship and serve around that God. Something that's a good thing that's turned into a God. Insert that for you. In 2025, for you and I, what is that one thing in the West that you hold on to that's filling that void in your life and my life that is actually taking us away from the King filling that void with His peace, His joy? I want to challenge you with that question to really reflect on that. What is that thing in the West for you? The wise men, they left that thing in the East. They left it because they said, there's something greater. There's a greater King. There is something in our hearts that maybe takes the throne that we run to and medicate ourselves on. What is that? For me, sometimes it can be in the approval of man. Right? The success that I feel after a preaching or the success I feel with past accomplishments. I don't know. Maybe it's food. It doesn't matter. The point is that these are things in the West that if we're not careful, good things that can be turned into gods and takes us away from this King. Here's the test. I shared this with my daughter, Raylin, not too long ago. If these things in the West were stripped away from you and I, will you be okay? That's the real question. Are you going to have that peace, that joy, that security still living in your heart if something is stripped away? If something doesn't go as planned? If your expectations for 2025 aren't being met? Aren't for me being met. Are you going to still be okay? See, what I love about this passage is that Jesus understands what these wise men are going through. Look at the scripture. For we saw His star when it rose, and we have come to worship Him. Whose star is it? Phil. It's God's star. It's Jesus' star. What that tells us is that Jesus, this boy who's probably 1 to 2 years old at this time, the King, he says, you know what? I understand that your gods in the East are empty, but I'm going to reach out to you from afar, and I'm going to send my star to you about 1,000 miles away, and I'm going to reach you, and I'm going to draw you to myself. The point that I want us to make is that in the midst of whatever that thing that we're holding on to, Jesus is drawing us still to Himself as He is drawing those wise men. He is drawing us to Himself, to fellowship, to be in His presence. He is always pursuing you and I, if we believe that. His Spirit lives inside of you, amen? And so His Spirit is always being drawn into the presence of Jesus. Will we listen to Him? That's His star living in us.
That's saying, I'm drawing you out from that God and into my presence where there's greater joy. There's greater victory. Right? Because 2 Samuel 7:13, you can just jot it down in your notes. But let's talk about this king. This king was predicted in the Old Testament. He was of in a sense, the body of King David. Right? He was in the lineage of King David. And 2 Samuel 7:13 says this, speaks prophetically about a king. He shall build my house for my name, and I will establish his kingdom, his throne of his kingdom forever. 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 And then Luke 1:32, the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, speaking about Jesus coming to earth. God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end. End. And I love that passage in Luke. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The gods of the east, that kingdom fail. The gods of the west, those kingdoms will fail. Jesus' kingdom will have no end. Will have no end. And you and I are connected to that kingdom, amen? We are connected to that kingdom. What's neat about this is that this star also was reaching the nations. So this is probably the first gospel witness in the gospel accounts of Jesus reaching the nations, right? Because the shepherds, they were Israelites, Mary and Joseph, Israelites, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were Israelites, but these pagan wise men, they were Gentiles. But we see a picture of Jesus' heart for all nations, for all people groups, for you and I. Isaiah 60 says this. It's a prophecy both of when Jesus came to birth, but also future, when all nations will surround the king. And it says in Isaiah 60 that all nations shall come together in his light, to your light, all nations. That's a picture of him. These wise men, how did they know that this star was for them, that Jesus was reaching out to them, that there was a king? Numbers 24:17. Right? Because remember, Israel was in Babylon for a long time. So there were probably remnants of literature, Old Testament prophecies hanging around in Babylon. And God, out of his love and mercy, just prompted these wise men who were studying ancient literature. They studied probably Numbers 24:17, possibly. Which says this in Numbers 24:17, it says, there shall be a star that shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter arise out of Israel. And they're like, oh my gosh, who is this speaking about? And they saw this star. They probably connected the dots to that. That is God, Jesus, drawing them to himself, even years past. 2025, my friends, I just believe that Jesus is drawing you and I into a deeper fellowship with himself. Right? This is in a place of prayer, in a place of worship, in a place of God's word. What does that look like for you in 2025? What is that goal? Because he's already drawing you and I. It's like we have to try and wrestle our way there. He is a God that draws. No one can come to me unless the Father draws, right? The draws. He's drawing through his Spirit. What does that look like for you in 2025 to walk in faith and join him in fellowship? Because that is the God of mercy for you and I. I do want to skip to verse 10 there, real quick. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So Jonah and Nathan, they got an Xbox. We're gonna limit the Xbox, but they got the Xbox for Christmas. And when they got the Xbox for Christmas, they went absolutely crazy, okay? They were just shouting and just wrestling each other. Like, I'm asking, what's going on, right? But there was an intensity about them. There was, in a sense, a mega joy. In verse 10, when it says they rejoiced exceedingly, that word exceedingly is the word for intensity. And that word great joy, that word great, is actually the Greek word mega. My point is that Jesus is drawing us into some intense mega joy if we're willing to go there with him. A deeper joy than what we're even experiencing right now. That he's got that for you and I. He's got that for you and I. He's drawing us to himself. Let's look at verse 3 through 7 here. So when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem, right? And so he inquired these chief priests and these scribes. These were the Sanhedrin. He was troubled. Okay? They inquired about when this Messiah was to be born. That quote, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah," that's from out of Micah 5:2. And what's interesting is that these chief priests and scribes, and even King Herod, they didn't move a finger to go see this Messiah. Look at it. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And these scholars said, it's going to be born in Bethlehem. And yet they didn't move at all. Jerusalem was probably 6 miles away from Bethlehem. But these religious people couldn't see it. My friends, it shows the spiritual state of the religious people of that day. And sometimes I wonder, in the American church today, are we not those people sometimes? Now here we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, in intimate fellowship with him, yet we choose so many other things in the West. When we have this King of Kings who came as a loving, humble servant, rich in mercy and love, and he came and he died for our sins, yet we have a hard time making room for him in our life. And we are the church, the American church, the people of God. And how sad that is that these religious people, 6 miles away, they knew the prophecies, yet they were so spiritually blind, they couldn't see their Messiah was right there. May we not be like those people, my friends. Amen? May we not be like those people right there. So, I want to get to something here. Herod summoned these men secretly, and he sent them, verse 8, to Bethlehem. Sent who? These are the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, "Hey, go and search for this child. When you find him, I'll come too and worship him." But it says in verse 3 that Herod was troubled when he heard about these wise men seeking another king other than himself. He was threatened He was, in a sense, insecure, and he was an insecure man. He killed some of his own family members, King Herod did, because he tried to keep his throne as he liked it. And these wise men, as they're journeying, they get interrupted in a sense, or as they move closer to Jesus, they bump into Herod. Right? And the reality is this: Jesus is drawing us deeper. And guess who we're going to bump into if we seek to pursue in faith Jesus more deeply, more intimately in 2025? Guess who we're going to bump into more? Satan. Because Satan doesn't like it. Right? Jesus was a threat to Herod, and Herod didn't like it. When we pursue Jesus more and more, guess who doesn't like that? We become more of a threat to Satan's territory, to Satan's kingdom, earthly kingdom, that is. And he does not like it. And as it says that Herod was troubled, guess what happens when we pursue Jesus more? We get more intimately with him. He's going to start pressing on some things in our life. He's going to start pressing on lust, our lustful thoughts that we think about, or thoughts about, or judgmental thoughts that we have towards different people, that we should have compassionate thoughts. He starts pressing up against that. Or maybe it's pride. He starts pressing up against that. Or maybe it's jealousy or anger, bitterness towards other people, and there's division in our relationships, in our marriage, right? What's happening is that the enemy doesn't like it, and he's going to try to wreak havoc. And as we get closer to Jesus, the enemy actually doesn't like it. And he'll start bringing these things up, these ugly heads up in our life, our past stuff that we never deal with and dealt with. He'll start bringing that stuff up. Check this out. Look, we're learning about Satan right here. Guess what? And Herod summoned the wise men secretly. You see Satan here? Secretly. Satan is one who loves to play secrets with our minds and whisper lies. What did Herod say? I too will worship him. That's flat out Satan's tactic. If you eat of this tree, you'll become like God, knowing good and evil. Do you see that? When we're moving closer to Jesus, Satan doesn't like it, and he's going to wreak havoc in our flesh, our sin. And he's going to wreak havoc. Satan's going to wreak havoc with lies about who we are. Right? Like I can never overcome this fear that I'm just a nobody. That you don't have what it takes. That our church is just going to always be how it is. That the problem with this or that is that guy or that woman, whatever. Or maybe it's the lies of, you deserve this. You're entitled to this. You know, just be better than this person or that person. Like, these are things that we probably all experience. I experience. But when we move closer to Jesus, those things are going to rear their ugly heads even more. Right? I want to read you a quote from A.B. Simpson. Simpson says this, A.B. Simpson, I like it. A life of victory is not a life, can't read my own handwriting. Oh, is not a life of freedom from attacks from the enemy. A life of victory is not a life of freedom from attacks from the enemy. The greater advances we make in the kingdom, in kingdom life, the more sin and Satan resists us. Do you see that?
The near heaven we get, the more closer we get to Jesus, the more these wicked spirits will come against us. But if we go armed for war, we will not be taken disarmed, but we will be armed and ready for victory. His whole point is this, is that the more we draw closer to Jesus, the more Satan and sin will resist that. The wise men drew closer to Jesus, and guess who popped up? Herod. Boom. But I want to encourage you and I with this. Man meant for evil, God meant for good. God will use even the enemy and our flesh, if we're moving closer to Jesus, he will use that for our sanctification, for greater holiness, because God is the King of holiness as well. Check this out. This dawned on me. These wise men, where did they go, to Bethlehem or Jerusalem first? What's that? They went to Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem first because they were probably thinking it was in Jerusalem. And then King Herod said what? Go to Bethlehem and see this child. I may too worship him. My point is this, is that God used King Herod to take these wise men to Bethlehem to see Jesus. Do you see that? Do you see that? And I want to encourage you and I with this reality that God will use, as we move closer to Jesus, this sin pops up, these lies and the evil one pops up. If we keep pressing in like the wise men, God will use that to take us deeper in Jesus. But will we press in? Will I press in? That's the hardest part. These wise men, they could have checked out when they saw King Herod, the intimidating King Herod, and said, we're going back to Babylon. But they pressed in and said, you know what? We will go to Bethlehem. We will see this child. I don't know about you, but when the going gets tough, Christian, will you take up your cross? Will I take up my cross and say, yes, I will still be with Jesus and go to Bethlehem, even if it's hard, even if I see that sin and I see the enemy coming at me? It's actually God's way of using it to take me deeper, right? My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Do you see that, my friends? And God used Herod to take these men to Bethlehem. And God uses our struggles, our trials, everything we go through to take us deeper to him, to Bethlehem, the house of bread. So in 2025, you know, I don't know about you, but I like to complain about my problems, the struggles I have. And for me, you know, there's sometimes these fears that just dog me. They dog me. I know it's from the enemy, but my pride wants control over this stuff, right? We all face this. We all face it. But maybe in 2025, we need to take a note from the wise men or a note from God that he wants to use that, my friends, to take us deeper to him, to go to Bethlehem. Drawn to him. So what is that? What is that struggle, that attack from the enemy that you say, I don't want it? But maybe God says, I'm leaving it there for a little bit because I'm trying to take you to Jesus. I'm trying to take you to Bethlehem to go deeper. Because if we press into Jesus, he's going to show some of that stuff. He's going to show some of that stuff. Verse 9. So the first point is Jesus draws us to himself. Jesus uses the enemy even in our trials as a way to take us deeper to himself. This is what the king does. And in verse 9, we read this. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. I love it. These wise men didn't just move. They could have. But they moved when they saw the what?
when they saw the star. It reminds me of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They didn't move. They set up camp, and they left camp when they saw what? The pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day move. Then they moved. Right? You and I, my friends, we have a star. King Jesus has given us a star to light our path to. Amen? His star is the Holy Spirit. His star is the light of Christ that lives in you and I. And this star went before the wise men. In 2025, I don't know about you, but I like to make decisions without always talking to God. You know, we have decisions with finances. We have decisions with family. We've got all kinds of things that we will go through. But we have a star inside of us who wants to light that path. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean what? Not on our own understanding. In John 16, 13, it says that the Holy Spirit came to disclose the things that are to come. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit as a child of God? Because God's been so gracious to you and I that He has given us His Holy Spirit, the one that raised Christ from the dead. I'm still learning about the Holy Spirit, my friends. But He's given us the same Spirit. Are we being led by the star of the Spirit or by our own flesh, our own ways of thinking? These men were in tune with the star. If you real quick, 1 Corinthians 2:9, if you could go there real quick, I think this will kind of sum this part up and we'll be kind of moving to close. But this 1 Corinthians 2:9 really, I want you to claim this promise for you in 2025, my friends. Does anybody want to read that? Because we're at CMA. When we're at Faith Alliance in New Bremen, probably can't do that to somebody read out loud a passage during the message. But we're at CMA. So it's a little different. Anybody want to read 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10? Go ahead, Aaron. Amen. Amen. Paul starts off writing, what no eye has seen, ear heard, heart of the man, imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. See, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, primarily, they had to lean upon the prophets, right, and the priests, and especially the prophets, to hear the voice of God. We don't have to do that, my friends, because we have a star living inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And it says this, that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love God? Say amen. Say, I love God. All right, so this is for you and I. And it says that God has prepared. God in 2025, for you and I, has things prepared for us. Spiritual things, things that we don't even understand right now, spiritual things. And he said, okay, well, how do I go about that? The next verse, verse 10. These things that God has prepared for you and I in 2025, these things God has revealed to us through his Holy Spirit. God wants to reveal these things to you and I, whatever that may be. He knows our situation. Guess what connected the people of Babylon? They were astrologists, right? They studied stars. So guess what? God's smart enough, and he knows them so well enough that he sent them a star. You see that? And in the same way, God knows you and I so intimately. He knows our dynamics, our family background. He knows everything He's saying, hey, my Holy Spirit can understand and recognize what you're going through. I am intimately acquainted with all your ways, Psalm 139. And he wants to reveal these things to you and I. How great is our God? That he has a specific star for each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit. He understands. But are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to depend on him? And when we don't see it yet, we still step out on faith and trust him and walk in obedience little by little. Me and my wife, we're fostering, right? We're trying to foster. And, you know, we've had some ups and downs there for sure, right? And we kind of came to the conviction, we need to pray more. We need to seek our King Jesus more and let him lead us. Let his star guide us, right? A great prayer that I pray a lot is, Holy Spirit, lead me. Prompt us, reveal dreams to us, reveal through your word to us, right? He gave a star to the wise men. He knew what they needed. He's so good. He can do it for us. We have to believe and trust and then walk in faith. So so in 2025, all your decisions that we will make, are we willing to wait upon this star, the Holy Spirit? Let him lead us. He's got things prepared for you and I. We need to go to God's word, go to prayer, be with a friend, a brother in Christ to pray into those things. And lastly, verse 11, they get there to Jesus and they fall down and worship him. They fell down and worshiped him. Isn't that amazing? These are grown men. Grown men falling down and worshiping this 1 to 2 year old. It's like me worshiping this little son, our son Isaiah. All of us worshiping this little one. The humility of these wise men, right? They're so moved by this Jesus. Are we falling on our knees, maybe in our heart, in humble worship and praise and thanksgiving for everything he's done for us? For he is our King, and he is the Lord, and he is our Savior. But it's not only through worship and song and worship and prayer. They show it by action. Because what do? Then they open their treasures, and they gift him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, expensive. The Old Testament, especially in King Herod's temple, it was overlaid with gold. Frankincense, right? Frankincense was a resin from a tree sap, and it was used for oil. It was actually used in incense for the Israelites in the Old Testament as they would offer incense of praise and prayer. And myrrh, that was dried up sap that was used for burial. But if I'm honest, sometimes we don't like to open up those treasures and offer them to somebody else. You know, Christmas time, what do? We open up treasures or boxes for ourselves, right? Makes logical sense. Somebody gifted me, I'm going to open up for myself. But these men, these wise men said, hey, I'm going to open up these treasures and offer them up to the King. Something to reflect on for 2025 that me and my wife and family, we're reflecting on is, what are those treasures that I might be holding back? For us, it's the budget and finances. It's like, Lord, we've got these things and these things, but am I really surrendering this thing of money to you, Lord? For your purposes. You own it all. This is yours, God. You're the King. These are your gifts anyways. What do you want me to do with it? Right? Or maybe it's time. That's a treasure that you're holding on to that you need to let it go. It doesn't matter. The point is that Jesus, the King, is worthy of it. He's worthy of it all. So what is that treasure in your life in 2025? Ask the Holy Spirit. He will reveal it. Because you know what? When that happens, guess what? We get to experience the King in a fresh way. In a different way. And then it says that they had a dream and departed and went a different way. And I like that. Because who gave them the dream?
God did, right? God gave them the dream. It was protecting them from King Herod. And they went a different way. Guess what, my friends? For you and I, when we keep Jesus as King, and we walk kind of the path of the wise men, might be hard, but there's joy there, right? The Lord may take us on another path, too. On a path. A different path. But a path that is also where the King is at. Where we find him deeper. Maybe you're on that path already. Praise God. But maybe he's got something else for you and I. But he needs to draw us first to himself. Right? Take us out of the West a little bit. And take us deeper to him and let him work, let him lead. And we walk in obedience. Jesus King, amen, for 2025. Is he King today too? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you even use our weaknesses and the things that we struggle with, even the enemy and his tactics, to take us to Bethlehem, to take us deeper to you. I pray, Lord, that whatever was not of you would fall, but whatever, God, through your word, through your spirit that stirred in our heart, that we would be keenly aware of those still small voice that you have for each one of us, that you have for us as a church, and walk in obedience and faith in you. Thank you for being our King, a kingdom that will last forever, not only now, but for eternity, and that we get to be a part of it because of your mercy and your love. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there's shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus because Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.